He's got one of the biggest audiences in the history of the world. I mean, this guy is unbelievable. Try speaking for 3 hours without taking calls. Taking calls is easy. Okay, I'll answer this one, I'll answer that one. He goes for 3 hours, and he's got an audience that's fantastic.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Speaking of the president, we just found out Melania's coming to town. Just heard that.
Great.
When's she coming, Nicole? You just saw that?
Oh, next week, I think.
Coming next week?
Actually, I saw... Hang on a second.
Can we get her on the show?
I'm hoping. Apparently, we are the second stop on a three-state tour.
Mm-hmm. March 4th.
What?
March 4th.
What?
March 4th.
March 4th?
Yep.
What? Why is she coming to Seattle? Of all places.
It's part of her Be Best initiative, encouraging kids to be responsible and to avoid drugs. It'll be her first domestic overnight trip in her official capacity.
Really? She's coming to the bluest of blue cities.
Good for her.
That's, yeah. Let's get her on the show.
Oh, don't you worry. I'm going to try.
Okay.
Oh, get this. And then she's gonna come here, and then she's going to Las Vegas. Another one of your faves.
You know what? Maybe tell her that if she'll come on the show, I'll go down and do a live broadcast from Vegas, and I'll interview her a second straight day down in Vegas. Where's she going to be in Vegas? Where's she appearing?
She's got some kind of town hall on the opioid epidemic.
Yeah, but where?
Don't know. I don't even know where she's going
to
be here yet.
I need to know if it's on the strip.
A tech company in the area is where she'll be.
She's appearing at we don't have any tech companies here.
No. It's going to be hard to find one.
Wow. Okay, before I get to the big lead here, did you see this shocking story in a British Columbia medical journal? A woman, she was shot, a 39-year-old woman, she was shot at close range, but the bullet was not... What was her threat? The bullet actually sliced the metal in her underwire bra. The metal snapped out. It sliced her stomach in half. The bra wire cut her liver and diaphragm, and she almost died from that, but not the bullet.
Really?
Why do we have metal there?
Oh, it's
needed. You need it.
We don't have jock straps with metal underwire protection.
Well, and I'm about to say something that's going to get me in big trouble, so I'm not going
to. This is what I've been saying for years. Just let them loose. That way you won't be sliced in half.
This has been a PSA from Sean Dettori and the Dory Monson Show. So anyway, that was shocking news there. She's going to be okay, though. She's doing better.
What brand of bra was that, though, by the way?
I don't know. Who does the underwire?
Oh, everyone.
Wow. Let's not race to answer. I should have a buzzer like Jeopardy so we can pick who gets to answer. Jeez.
Although, if it wasn't there, the bullet would have gone into her and might have killed her, so maybe it saved her life.
Well, we never know. We'll follow this story for you, and we'll keep you posted on that. Okay, let's get to the big lead.
The big lead. Top story.
As we have been telling you throughout the afternoon, those massive fires in Seattle late last year, police have now arrested a suspect. 38-year-old Daniel Hooper, a homeless fella, which is another example of how our elected officials are apparently going to let the mentally ill, drug-addicted homeless continue to take over our region until there's a mass murder. And in these charging papers, it is quite clear that there could have easily been a mass murder with one of the fires that Daniel Hooper is alleged to have set. Let me read to you from the charging papers. Even more concerning than the extensive damage, and you may recall, the Gascoigne Lumber Yard burned down, a multi-generational, century-old business down at South Lake Union. In fact, before I read you the charging papers, I talked to Dave Gascoigne after the arson. And I said, who do you think would have done something like this? So do you have a sense of who might be behind it?
People keep asking about who do you think the arson is and what do you think about him? My thoughts have actually not been based very much towards the arson. I haven't had time to even give him thought. I've been more or less thinking about what we're doing to move forward. But if you were to say, ask me right now, my assumption would be some mentally deranged person of some sort that gets pleasure in watching hardworking man's heritage burn down in front of him. I can't. Yeah, I don't. Somebody that's strange.
A mentally ill, deranged person, and he nailed it. Let me read to you the charging papers for this alleged arsonist, although he's admitted to it. So I don't know why we still have to say alleged. But in the prosecutor's report, even more concerning than the extensive damage caused at the lumberyard, Elks Club, and Seattle Gymnastics was the defendant's alarming decision to light a fire in a carport underneath an apartment building where several residents lived. Had the Seattle Fire Department not responded so promptly, the defendant could have burned down the occupied apartment building where many residents would have still been sleeping. So that gets me back to the question I asked a couple of minutes ago. What's it going to take? Jenny Durkin, Carmen Best, Dan Satterberg, Dow Constantine, Jay Inslee. Are you going to wait until there's a mass murder from some of the mentally ill homeless that you have so carefully cultivated throughout our region? Are you going to wait until there's a mass murder? And then are you going to pretend like you're sorrowful? You know, I said a couple of hours ago, I'm so sick of Jenny Durkin saying Seattle is better than this, because she says it thousands of times, which would indicate we're probably not better than all of the problems that we have. We may be a reflection of the horrible political leadership in this region. So are we going to wait till there's a mass murder, till a bunch of people in an apartment are incinerated? Are we going to wait until one of these mentally ill, drug-addicted, homeless people gets their hands on a weapon and just mows down a bunch of people? But what's your game going to be then? How are you going to foe your compassion then? When I'm telling you with certainty that this is coming because of your policies. And look, I talked to Dan Satterberg on the show yesterday, where we don't prosecute small levels of drugs. We've told the nation this is the easiest place in the country to be addicted to drugs. We're not prosecuting shoplifters. We're not prosecuting bus fare jumpers. I mean, all these crimes that the homeless commit, we don't prosecute any of them. And Satterberg says that he doesn't have the prosecutors, doesn't have the jail space. But he also says he doesn't really think that's the right approach. That's the right strategy. Well, the current strategy isn't working. And if you all get up there with your fake compassion after an apartment building is burned down with residents inside, the blood's going to be on your hands. More from these charging papers in all of the fires. November 8th was the Elks Club, and they were all similar. He piled pallets, poured a flammable liquid on them, and then lit it ablaze. Elks Club on November 8th. Gascoigne Lumber on November 10th. November 19th, Seattle Gymnastics Academy. November 28th, the Ballard Smoke Shop Restaurant, which is the one where there were the apartments above the carport. Hooper told the officers he uses the name ABBA as his first name. He gave his current address as the address of the Ballard Food Bank. He's homeless. He admitted to lighting the lumberyard fire. He admitted to setting a fire at an insurance company. At the end of the interview with investigators, Hooper stated, "You solved the arson." He said that the reason he burned down these businesses was to protect himself, reflecting, obviously, a deeply mentally ill person. Are we going to start involuntarily committing these people? Are we going to start putting them in prison? Or, I mean, this is a guy who had 6 convictions in the last 13 years. Serious convictions. I got those charging papers, too. Let's see. Property destruction, assault, harassment, criminal trespass. So are we just going to wait until one of these homeless drug vagrants commits some mass murder? Or are we going to start actually doing something about the blight in our region? Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
And then there's this amazing story out of Olympia where Democrats are trying to add another group to the list of protected status in our state. Because right now, you are protected from discrimination based on race, religion, ethnicity, age, gender, sexual orientation. But the Democrats actually want to add illegals to the list of protected status? I find this almost impossible. Let me take you live to Olympia. State Senator Doug Erickson joins us live here on the Dory Monson Show. Senator, always good to talk to you. Appreciate it.
Good afternoon, Dory. Happy to be here.
Okay. Now, before I get to this story, do you still have any connections with the Trump administration? Can you get Melania on my show when she comes to town next week?
I will do my best. I will put out some inquiries.
Okay. I appreciate it. I should handle this sort of thing off the air, but I don't have time to call you off the air.
No problem.
Okay. All right. Okay. Now, this can't be real, Senator. The Democrats want to add illegals to the list of protected status in our state?
Yeah, you bet you that the bill actually passed off of the Senate floor just a couple days ago. Let me just read to you briefly what the bill report says. Prohibits discrimination by employers, potential employers, labor organizations, or employment agencies based on citizenship or immigration status.
So you are telling me that if this bill passes, and it's already passed, you said passed out of committee already?
No, passed off the Senate floor.
Oh, off the floor. Okay. All right, so if this bill goes through, if an employer has two candidates for a job, one is a tax-paying American citizen, and one is an illegal who's been deported seven times, and the employer says, well, all else being equal, I'm going to hire the American citizen. You're telling me that that employer could face some civil rights action by a state agency or a lawsuit by the illegal?
Yeah, cause of action, yeah. So under Washington state law, they would have the right to a cause of action against that employer if they were discriminated against because of their legal status. Now, federal law might come in and have something to say about that, but this is what Washington state law would say. So if you're renting a house, if you're hiring somebody, all these things, that is a new protected class under this law in Washington state.
Oh, it's for housing, too. I didn't think about that. So if a landlord said, I want to give priority to an American citizen over an illegal, they could face a civil rights case?
Yep, oh, totally. That's completely clear in the law. The employment one, because of federal tax laws and certain laws there, it's a bit more ambiguous, but very unclear, but it's very, very clear in terms of all these other areas that receive protected status. Yep.
Senator, how has this happened? I mean, I grew up here in Seattle. I've watched the evolution of our state. How has this happened that we could actually legally go after a landlord or an employer if they give priority to an American citizen over an illegal? How in God's name has this happened to our state?
Yeah, it's something else, Dory. I mean, it's been building for a few years now, but all this attention paid on Washington, D.C. for the New Green Manifesto, the crazy stuff that's being proposed back there, and the outrage all over the country about it are things the Democrats have pushed through here in Olympia or are currently trying to push through right now. So it is telling. I do not know how we've gotten quite to this point, but I have never seen a legislature like the one we currently have in terms of the bills they're moving and how far left socialist, there's no other word for it, the socialist, they have become.
I just wonder how this is going to play for President Inslee when he takes over the country after all the wondrous things that we've seen in this state under his reign.
Well, good point, but we know his sole focus will simply be on climate change and carbon, so I don't think he'll have time to worry about immigration.
I find this absolutely remarkable. I know Nicole didn't tell you I was going to ask you about this. Are you following the sex ed bill down there too? K-12 mandated sex education?
Well, yeah, Dory, that bill actually moved off the Senate floor yesterday also. And it's not about sex education. So they claim, you know, it's about sex education and just, you know, going into kindergarten and trying to teach, you know, kids that they have what their body parts are and they have a right not to be abused. What it really is, it's a social agenda. I mean, it's a way to require our public schools, and no matter how you feel about the issues, you know, to teach our kindergartners about transgender people and to teach them, you know, to get them really questioning their own sexuality in kindergarten and first grade in our public schools. So they say sex education. It's really not. It's really a social agenda movement that's being forced on our public schools. So I just don't think it's proper for kids at that age in my public school where I have to send my child to have that happen.
Now, I mean, I know what you're saying is absolutely correct. And I also know that I read this heartbreaking essay this morning. It was five moms of transgender kids, and the parents got completely cut out of the kids' lives because activists and government got hold of the kids' minds. And there were these heartbreaking stories. One mom said, "My beautiful daughter is now 19 years old with a beard, desperately drug addicted, mentally ill, and I was not able to have any contact with her for the last 4 years because activists mandated it." And I mean, I see this, and I know that that's part of this agenda that wants to get, you know, the kindergartners started to be embedded with the, you know, this kind of movement in the schools. It's really disturbing, Senator.
It's very disturbing, Dory. I mean, both in terms of priorities. I mean, and parents need to be more controlled. And kids at that age, they're susceptible, and things happen. I don't claim to be a child psychologist. I don't try to play one in Olympia.
Right.
But I do know that it can't be healthy to try to have these little kids who are going there to maybe learn to hold a pencil correctly and how to do finger painting, to try to turn that into a place where you start trying to talk about those things. And just really quickly, you know, we don't have a state curriculum for math, for science, for English. The only thing we have a state curriculum for is this sex ed and the social agenda.
That is a great point. That's just unbelievable. All right, so what's next then if both these things have passed off the floor? I mean, is there any resistance ahead?
Well, we'll see. They go over to the House, and they'll have House committee hearings coming up. And one of the things that's interesting here, you know, the new media cycles, and we could talk about that later, but I don't think a lot of the public gets a lot of news information out of Olympia these days. The newspapers are really, you know, the thin ranks down here, and they try. We have some good reporters, but it's just hard to get information out to people. They don't know what's happening down here and how fast it's moving through. It's shocking the pace that these bills are moving through. They're a really big deal. So we're trying to get information out to people, and hopefully once the public understands kind of the radical nature of these bills that are going through, there'll be a bit more pushback, you know, kind of like on the hairdresser, the hairstylist.
Yeah.
You know, once people find out about it, hopefully they'll rise up.
Well, and I'll build real briefly on what you just said. Not only is there not the staffing, but there's not the will for the media, you know, other than shows like mine. They're not going to take on the orthodoxy. And, you know, a perfect example is, you know, nobody covered Patty Murray and Maria Cantwell and how they voted on the afterbirth, you know, infanticide thing. And whether people agree or disagree, that's a news story. And my show, Sandra, was the only media outlet in Seattle that even covered the story. And so... they will not take on the orthodoxy, most in the media. And that's the part of it that they not only don't have the staffing, but they don't want to buck the conventional wisdom of the left right now. And that's what's really bothering me.
No, I totally hear you. I was trying to be kind of generous, you know, to the media down here.
I ain't in the generosity business, Senator.
some days I'm not, too. I don't know why I'm today a little bit more. But we just have to get the information out to the public. And we're working hard to try to do that. And our members are trying to highlight it. But people just need to see what's happening. It's a new world down here in Olympia after that last election.
Yeah.
There aren't many moderate Democrats left in Olympia, I'll tell you that.
Well, I will tell my listeners, make your voice heard. If you don't think illegals should be part of the protected classes in our state, if you don't want the state giving sex ed to kindergartners, you let your legislators know, because it's more important now than ever. Senator Doug Erickson, always appreciate it. Thanks for coming on with me.
You bet, Dory. Happy to be here.
All right, thank you. It's Doug Erickson joining us live. That is your Big Lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Check the news and then our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio coming up. why it is that time of the day when we like to count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Day.
And our Awesome Audio is brought to you by Brown Bear Car Wash. And by the way, 90 minutes ago, we made a little, that was a big announcement. I have to stop diminishing all this.
Yes.
I'm putting too much effort and emotion into it to diminish it.
I think the emotion and effort is great, but exactly, yes, yeah. But not to diminish it.
I mean, when I took 2 weeks off at the end of the year, I spent days working on the outline and the whole thing. So I put a lot into this.
It is going to be so personal to you that I know. So I think there's just more to it.
Yes. We announced. I'll stop diminishing it, though.
Yes, stop.
No, I don't know why I'm doing this. It's my defense mechanism.
Yes.
We're doing a live show, for lack of a better phrase. You know what my motivation was? Did I ever tell you?
Wait, why lack of a better phrase? You already diminished it again.
No, because I was going to say it's a one-man show, but all of you are going to be part of this. You and Nicole and Sean. And
it's going to be sharing your story.
Andrew. Yes. And Seattle's story.
Yes.
So.
We're not doing Awesome Audio, are we?
Oh, no, we're doing Awesome Audio. No, I'm going to get to it here.
Okay.
Trust me, Nicole.
I'm very excited.
I know. Anyway, tickets are on sale. It's April 12th at the Kirkland Performance Center. The VIPs went in about 5 minutes. So I don't know how fast the other tickets are going to go, but we've got less than 400 seats.
No bad seat in the house.
No, it's a nice little intimate setting. So go to mynorthwest.com/events if you want to get tickets for the first ever live show that we've put together here. So April 12th, the Friday night, 8 o'clock, Kirkland Performance Center, mynorthwest.com/events.
Did I interrupt your inspiration, you said?
Oh, I'll talk about that some other time.
Okay.
Because otherwise, I won't have time to get to the Awesome Audio, which we already played the open for. Okay, at number three, the mugshots here are very funny. It's about an 80-year-old white guy and a 20-something African-American woman. They were at a restaurant. It was a crab leg buffet in Alabama. And that's when these two, Gerald Johnson and Chiquita Jenkins, they got in a brawl, and here's the description of what went down at the Crab Leg Buffet in Alabama.
Number three.
Just as I sat down and literally maybe took two bites out of my plate, if you can imagine a fencing match, there's a woman who's beating a man. Plates are shattering everywhere. Everyone was saying that they cut me in line. She cut me in line. He cut me in line. I was here first. They had been waiting there for the crab legs for a good 10 plus minutes, maybe 15. So when they finally came out, it's very heated, especially if someone's taken more than their fair share.
So the
10 minutes and you're heated?
The kind of metal scraping sound, they have those tongs that they use, and the man and the woman each had a set of tongs, and they were using them like swords in a sword fight with each other. And the whole thing is just so ridiculous. Okay, I'm going to go to number one here because I'm going to save one of these that I don't want to shortchange for our Friday extravaganza. As I've told you, I think there are there are a lot of great artists who are able to sell their work. My wife and I have bought stuff at galleries that we loved because it was worth our money. Then you have absolute grifter and scams like public artists who get $100+ million from Sound Transit because it's mandated that we have to spend 9 figures on the arts as part of this $100 billion construction criminal scam. Now, there's another part of the art world where a scam is unfolding right now. A painter back in New York City is getting phenomenal amounts of money for her work. Prices range from $400 to as much as $23,000. She has a private showing at a gallery, 30 of her pieces of work on the wall. So what makes this such a scam?
Number one.
She loves the camera almost as much as it loves her. Obviously enjoys chocolate, Not so sure about the hard-boiled eggs, though, and adores playing with Fred. A quick glance from pandas covering her little piggies to pigtails, and Lola June seems similar to any other two-year-old.
She's 2 years old. And the video, she just paints a bunch of colors, swirls them around, and these morons, you know, these pretentious so-called art aficionados, they're talking about her genius use of color, and they've convinced each other that she's some two-year-old art prodigy. It's one of the most insane things you'll ever see.
But some might argue she's strokes ahead of most toddlers. You see, those chubby little paint-stained hands pulling pastels tell part of her story. She's an artist with her own exhibition titled Hope.
She's very talented, or maybe I should not use the word talented. She's like beautiful spirit.
Pythamus Monet curated the solo show. Says when he laid eyes on Lola June's very first piece, this one right here, he was surprised.
If I will see the same artwork and I didn't know who's the artist, if I will see it at the MoMA or like any...
Is this guy real or is he Martin Short? Is this Martin Short doing a character right here?
Museum, I'll stop by and pay respect for that. So,
more than 30 of her works adorn the walls of Chashama, Space for Artists in Union Square. Founder Anita Durst tells me her nonprofit gets hundreds of applications every day from artists hoping to showcase their talents.
But nobody as good as this two-year-old. Seriously, to be one of these pretentious art aficionados, you have to have an IQ of under about 60. Those are our favorite sound bites of the day. Today's sign is next. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. And before we head out into this beautiful Thursday afternoon, it's time for today's edition of
Today's Sign. That the end is near.
Today's sign, the world is soon coming to an end. You know, it seems like when I was a kid, breakfast cereals always had some of the coolest, most memorable TV commercials, whether it was, you know, Silly Rabbit, Tricks for Kids, I mean, Captain Crunch, Lucky Charms was always very memorable.
Lucky Charms! Stars and horseshoes, clovers and moons, hourglass and rainbows, and tasty rainbows.
Woo-hoo! Hiya, Lucky. Thanks, Lucky. Gotta go. Uh-oh.
Whoa. Hot stars and horseshoes. Anyway, Lucky Charms had the giggly leprechaun. They're magically delicious.
Magically delicious Lucky Charms cereal, part of a good breakfast.
And I don't ever see breakfast cereal commercials anymore, except, you know, if it's for the ones that are supposed to add to your fiber. Maybe everybody who's my age who liked breakfast cereal commercials when we were kids and we wanted the sugary Fruit Loops, Toucan Sam, remember him? Now it's Special K and all that stuff. Anyway. But Lucky Charms is evolving in another way to attract millennials and Generation X. A brand new Lucky Charms flavored beer is being introduced.
The brew called the Saturday Morning IPA is made with a pound of cereal marshmallows along with fruity Calypso hops.
Mmm, that sounds magically awful. By the way, the problem with the Lucky Charms, when I was a little kid, first of all, we couldn't afford the Lucky Charms. So when we would get the Lucky Charms type cereal, it'd be the generic, which was even worse than the Lucky Charms. And you pour yourself a bowl of that, and then like a lizard, you just flick out the tongue and pull up all the Cheerio-like pieces. And you think, then all I'll have are the Lucky Charm marshmallows in the bowl. And then I'll just eat those straight. And that always sounded much better in theory than it actually was. Because you eat nothing but a bowl of those marshmallows. Ugh, disgusting. Anyway, a brewing company in Virginia They say they are creating the beer of the wonder years, the Lucky Charm cereal. They're, like I just played for you, they're calling it Saturday Morning IPA, made with a pound of cereal marshmallows. But for now, I'm sorry to tell you, it's only available in Virginia. Virginia is for lovers and for people who want disgusting beer. Today's Sign story number two, $300 for a McDonald's hash brown? Well, a Connecticut man may have to pay that price, but it's not going to go to the McD's franchise. Jason Stiber, he was pulled over and ticketed for distracted driving for using a handheld phone behind the wheel. But he said, it wasn't my phone. It was McDonald's hash browns. And he was taking a bite. He fought the ticket and he lost. Now he is appealing it. He said the cop said, or his lawyer says, the cop says he saw my client's lips moving. My client's lips were moving because he was chewing on his McDonald's hash browns. He's fighting this because he didn't do anything wrong. We're expecting a ruling from the judge by April 5th. I'll keep you posted on that one. And then finally in today's Sign. When I was a kid, I thought Rolling Stone magazine was kind of cool. I mean, they even wrote songs about how everybody aspired to someday, if you wanted rock credibility, you had to get on the cover. Of the Rolling Stone. It was necessary.
Well, we're big rock singers. We got golden fingers, and we're loved everywhere we go. We sing about beauty, and we sing about truth at $10,000 a show. We take all kind of pills to give us all kind of thrills, but the thrill we never know is the thrill that'll get you when you get your picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Well, any cool cred that Rolling Stone ever enjoyed is gone. Vaporized.
Cover of the Rolling Stone.
Because the magazine has unveiled this month's cover stars.
I got a freaky old lady named a cocaine.
Well, they do have a freaky old lady on this month. That's pretty good timing. Nancy Pelosi. Along with freshman congressperson, congressman, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and anti-Semitic freshman congresswoman Ilhan Omar. Nancy Pelosi, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and Ilhan Omar. Ooh, what a cool, cutting-edge publication Rolling Stone is. And that absolutely is today's Sign, the end is near. I gotta get out of here. I've said everything that I have to say for today. Oh, but Friday's show's going to be special.
Get our picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone. Rolling Stone.
Tomorrow's show might actually get me on the cover of the Rolling Stone. It'll be so special. Candy, Mike, and Todd are coming up next.
Cover of the Rolling Stone.
And I will see you back here tomorrow. I don't. Head up.
I'm a man. I'm sensitive. I need to feel loved. I need to be desired.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.